official title of the Shir is Birchas HaMazon. But before I start to look at Birchas HaMazon, I wanted to consider a number of general klolim, which have to do with brachas, but they most poignantly affect Birchas HaMazon, because Birchas HaMazon is the bracha that's clearly midoraisa. Are there any other brachas that are midoraisa is debatable. The Bavli seems to hold that all the rest of the brachas are the Rabbanan. The Netziv argues that according to the Rishalmi, the Birchas HaMitzvahs is the Raisa. Birchas HaMitzvahs, not only Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah, we know, even according to the Bavli, is the Raisa, but Birchas HaMitzvahs, according to the Netziv, according to the Rishalmi, is the HaTorah. And there is, in fact, even a sheet of the Ridvan in the Sefer Hilchos Brachos, where he says that the general notion of brachos is a deraisa dika notion. If you look at the very, very beginning of the Ridvan on the Sefer Hilchos Brachos, apparently the text, the format, is a derabbanan dika format, but the obligation of brachos according to the Ridvan is a deraisa dika one. And the text is less than fully clear in the Gemara and Brachos. When the Gemara and Brachos finally concludes what Brachos are, normally the Gemara says that it's Midrabbanan across Machta Balma, but the Gemara does not include that Lashon that it's the Rabbanan. Most of the Rishayim do assume it's the Rabbanan, but the Ritva and Brachos, the Sefer on Brachos, holds that Brachos are a derisa to Kainyan. In other words, the Inyan of Haidah, the give praise to the Rabbi Rishon Lo'olam, is inherently a mitzvah derisa. How exactly it's manifested, its details and its format, are midrabbanan. But the essential notion of Haidah is a derisa to Kainyan notion. It really stems back, it parallels really the Rambam and Hilchas Tefillah. The Rambam in the first parak, we know the Rambam Shita, L'Ovdo B'Cholav Avachem, Ezer We Avoyda Shebeleiv. What is Avoyda Shebeleiv? What is Avoyda Shebeleiv? So the Gemara says Zut Tefillah. So we know there's a Machloikus, the Rambam and the Ramban of Tefillah is the Raisa, Tefillah is the Rabbanan. The Rambam that says Tefillah is the Raisa goes on to inform us in the first parak of Hilchos Tefillah that the format of Tefillah, there's an essential format that's midraisa to it. It's not only just the basic notion that I should offer supplication before the Rebbeinu Shalom, but the basic format that we start with Shevach, then we go to Bakosha, and then to Hidol is a deraisa dika format. Rather surprisingly, the Kesef Mishnah writes that he's familiar with the source of the first statement of the Rambam. Where do we know that Bakosha should be preceded by Shevach, by praise? So that is derived from the Chumash. I believe the Sefri derives it. Chazal derived it from the Chumash in the beginning of Parshas Peschana. There Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ato achiloyso laharis es avdecho es godlucho es yodcho achazoko Asher Mikael Vashamayim Asher Yasech Amasech Abichigur Osech, that who is as great as the Rabbeinu Shalom? The Rabbeinu Shalom is awesome. And then Rosh Rabbeinu goes on, Ebronov Eres Aretz HaTayv. It's followed by Bakosha. So that the Kesef Mishnah says he is divine the source for. But he says, but I don't know the source for. Where did the Rambam take the statement that to have Hoidor after Bakosha is a Dereis HaDikadin? So rather surprisingly, the Kesef Mishnah says he doesn't know the source. And one fine day I did divine the source, and much to my surprise, after I shared it with a Talmud Chochem that I know, it was challenging me a little about it to try to defend the Kesef Mishnah. But then I looked in the Sefri, in Parshas V'zoyis HaBrocha, and the Sefri spells it out exactly. That the idea that there's Haidah after Bakosha comes from Parshas V'zoyis HaBrocha. We talk about the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu. The brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu are actually the tefillas of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's mispalo for each and every shevet that it should achieve its purpose. So how does the parasha open? The parasha opens with Shevach, praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ophiyah mehar poron rosas amurdu vivos kodesh mi mila yeish toslom af chai vivamim kokadosh abiyadecha beim tuchu l'rayu yisam vedav resecha toiro tzibu lano moisha. Praise of the Rebbeinu Shemano. Then goes Moshe Rabbeinu's brochus, his tefillah, essentially, his bakoshes for all the shvotim. And at the end of the parasha, what do we have? Asherecha Yisrael mikomocha. Amdo Yisrael b'Hashem ha-shavokin asherecha b'chasherem ga'av asecha. Asher mikeh b'ashamayim u'arot ha-shayasich ha-masecha. So we have, went off a little bit. Asherecha Yisrael mikomocha. Amdo Yisrael b'Hashem. So again, there he gives his daughter to the Rebbeinu Shemano. So the Sifri, in fact, derives from there, the din of Haidah, at the end of Tefillah. So the notion of Haidah as a deraisadika aspect of our interface with the Rabbeinu Shalom is really, according to the Rambam, inherent in the Chumash itself. It's a basic aspect of the format of Tefillah. And the Sifri derives it, in fact, from the Tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Haidah is a very essential aspect in the Avodah of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The brachas are our most common form of haidah, how we give thanks to the Rabbeinu Shalom himself. And the tefillah ends with haidah because of the fact that it is a greater connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom through Hodah than there is through Bakosha. Bakosha, obviously, I stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom, I recognize that my needs can only be met by the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this is Bakosha. But Bakosha remains abstract. It's an abstraction. It's something that's not here. The Rabbeinu Shalom is abstract. And I ask for the Rabbeinu Shalom to do something about the existential situation that I find myself in. Haidah is the most concrete aspect of our interface with the Rabbeinu Shalom, because I'm no longer dealing in the abstraction. Yesterday I needed something. Today I have it. So now I'm talking about something concrete that's here. The Rabbeinu Shalom's present is manifest. So Haidah is in fact the strongest interface. It's a stronger interface than Bakosha. The tefillah ends for that reason. At the end of the tefillah is Haidah. That's what the Malbim tells us. It's one of my major themes. The Malbim, at the end of Shiras David, and the last two Psukim, the Psukim state the following, Alkein Oyidcha Hashem Bagoyim Olashimcha Azameh. Therefore I will sing your praises amidst the nations of the world. Magdil Yishuos Malko, Magdil, David asks of the Rabbeinu Shalom to intensify Magdil Yeshua is Malko, your salvation. He is the anointed one. David Ulizaro Adalam. Now the question is, what is the connection of these two psukim? He starts off to sing the praises of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and then he turns around and says, Magdil Yeshua is Malko. The Malbim tells us that commensurate with our level of Haidah, commensurate with that, we open a new window of Bakosha before the Rabbeinu Shalom. So when David HaMelech completes his Haidah of Shiras David, after the completion of his Haidah, what's his next step? Is Magdil Yeshua's Malko. He's now in the situation that he asked the Rabbeinu Shalom to intensify the chesed that he receives. This answers, I found, it's an old problem that troubled me. I did find the Chassam Sofer on his drushes, in fact, raised the problem. But according to the Malbim's Yisoyed, this is very easily answered. The structure of Shemoneh Esrei is peculiar. At the very end of the Shemoneh Esrei, we have Sim Shalom. It's a Bakosha. We thought we ended the section of Bakoshas with Shamei HaTfilah. So why didn't we have Sim Shalom back before Maidon? What happened that it wound up at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? According to the Malbim, we understand full well. The Mishnah says at the end of Uktzin, the final Mishnah in Shas, that what's the ultimate bracha? The ultimate bracha is Shalom. Right? The Birchas Kohanim ends with Shalom. If we have everything in the world, but we don't have Shalom, we're lost. And every, at a personal level, at a national level, Shalom is the necessary brocha to allow us to actualize all the other brochas of the Rabbeinu Shalom. When do we ask for the Rabbeinu Shalom for the ultimate need? After Hodah. Because after Hodah we open a new window on Bakasha. And therefore that's the most appropriate time to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for this most profound of needs of Shalom. Sim Shalom is at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. And that's really, when we talk about Birchas Hamazon,
do you view that as really Hodah, or do you view it as Bakasha?
Sim Shalom is Bakasha.
Bakasha,
yeah. That's what Chassam Sofer is also troubled by it, and the Droshes, he addresses the issue.
Rabbi, it's very confusing to me, because if a kid gets an allowance and say thank you, and at the same time has to say thank you, by the way, I want to raise an allowance. Like,
if
it
we
seems
truly,
like it's an ingrate. I don't know.
No,
for yourself.
That's when we, it's something, if we recognize the Rabbeinu Shalom as the source, then we have really the right to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for more. Because we've acknowledged the Rabbeinu Shalom as the source of everything that we can have. You know, in the human realm, we have limitations because the people that we have to ask favors also have limitations. They're finite. So, for a finite person, I have to be discreet and finite in my requests. When I stand before the Rabbeinu Shalom, there's no such room. And in fact, the Rosh Hashanah Zatzal had a very, very amazing insight. I shared this once with an Adam Godel. He was blown away by the beauty of it. The Gemara Avodah the Zohar and Daf Hei says that Klal Yisrael were ones that were, they were Kofer Toiva, Kfuyei Toiva, Ben Kfuyei Toiva. The Odom Arishim was a Kofui Toiv, a Isha Shernosata Imodi, and we were Kfuyei Toiv. Why? Because when the Rabbeinu Shalom said, who should in fact give them Klal Yisrael that spirit that they had at Har Sinai, so Klal, the Rabbeinu Shalom, we should have answered Hashem Yite. The Rabbeinu Shalom should have given it. So why didn't we give it? Because we didn't want to feel indebted, Taisu says, to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So that's why we didn't ask him. That's the Kviyas Toiv. So the Shaila is, why is that Kviyas Toiv? If I don't ask you for a favor, I'm a Kofi Toiv. If I don't thank you for a Toiv, I'm a Kofi Toiv. But the fact that I don't ask you. So the Shulchan Zatzal said a stunning pshat in the Taisu. That the human being has to realize that we are so indebted to the Rabbeinu Shalom that we can never pay the bill in the first place. If I would realize that, then it would be silly of me not to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom for something because I don't want to feel indebted to him. It's as if to say, I can, until now, we're even. I paid the bill. You know, I don't want to add to the bill because now I'm going to owe you something. But if I realize that everything that I have is no way that I can ever pay you in the first place, then I don't have to be worried about adding to the bill. That realization that everything comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom and the Rabbeinu Shalom is infinite. So the Chofetz Chaim writes that's the, in Birchas Hamazon, actuality actually ends after Lo Olam HaYichasareinu. So what do you have all the Harachamans afterwards? It's for the same reason. When we complete Haidah, we've opened the gate for Bakasha. And therefore, it's the opportune time to be mispalo before the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that all the Harachamans to the end are not really part of Birchas Hamazon. Just added tefillas. The Birchas Hamazon ended at the end of the fourth bracha. So Hidah is something which is very, very significant. The Aruch HaShulchan has a very, very beautiful insight. We know in Nusach Sfard, we have at the end of the first bracha of the Birchas Hamazon, so they have Ka'amor, Poseach Es Yodecha, Masbil Lechol Chai Rotzen. So there are those that, you know, amongst the Achroinim, they did not like this Nusach. And they said, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu already declared the fact he was Mesakin Birchas Hazon to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for everything that he gives us. So what do we do? David HaMelech for to tell us Maseach Es Yadecha Masbil Lechol Chai Rotzen. And after Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Hazon Asa Olam Kulo. So what are we adding with David HaMelech? We're reinforcing Moshe Rabbeinu's statement. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that's not the intention. The intention is something else. Amechin Mazon Lechol B'riyosav Asher Baruch. Birchas HaMazon says not only is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam the source of all the chesed, but the chesed is unique. And that is that the Bria is so broad that each type of species has its type of food. And we don't want to eat the food that animals eat. And animals are not interested, by and large, in eating the food that we eat. We work in different realms. Each species, this species eats worms, this eats larvae, whatever. You put that on our plate, you'd run away. It's missed us. And yet the Bria, so what he... We said that sustenance is provided to every Bria in the world in its own unique fashion. And that's the Pasuk, and provides us all with what? Rotzon, each according to our needs. That's what this Nusach was intended to underscore. That the Chesed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is so refined that for each aspect of the Bria, what it needs is provided in a very unique sense for it. And that it finds uniquely satisfaction with it. And what other parts of the Bria do don't mean anything to it. It has its own focus. So Hodah is a very, very central aspect of Avodah. Mechin Mazon is not a pasuk, that's a statement. And David HaMelech expressed it most poignantly by stating that each of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's creatures is uniquely sustained by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in its own inimical fashion. So this is the notion, the very basic notion of Avodah. Now, before we consider the notion of the Birchas HaMazon, I just wanted to look at one overarching question concerning the Birchas HaMazon. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun Birchas HaZon. All the themes of the Birchas HaMazon are the Raisidika themes. But the individual brachas and how they were developed were by different personalities. Yeshua developed the bracha of Birchas Haaretz because he conquered Eretz Yisrael. And David and Shlomo, who conquered Yerushalayim and built the Mikdash, they were responsible for the bracha b'nei Yerushalayim. But the question is a larger question. Why is it that we're involved with the issue of Birchas Haaretz, with Binyan Yerushalayim? I ate lunch today. I'm happy that I ate lunch. So I have to praise the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Good. So Azanas Olam Kula, Baruch Atah Hashem, Azanas Hakol. I mean, unfortunately, I wasn't in Eretz Yisrael today. And I didn't visit the Beis HaMikdash today. So why is it necessary at the end of the meal to thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for those things? What's the point? Now this we find in a parallel point, we find the following. That the inyan of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is essentially Haido. Thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for Kol Chasdei, all the chesed that he did in our salvation. So why did Chazal see fit that we start from a Rami Yovid Ovi? When a person brings Bikurim, right, we do Pashas of Bikurim up until Vayivienu Olamokom Hazeh. That part we don't go into on the night of Pesach. We do the first four Pesukim. But what's the necessity of going back all the way to Arami Yovir Ovi on the night of the Seder? And we could ask perhaps the same question, the person that brings Bikurim, why does he go back to Harami Yovin Ovin? But Haidah is a very all-encompassing experience. It's not enough to thank you for what you've done for me at the moment. But what are all the factors that brought about this moment? you know, something happened at this moment, that's true. But there are innumerable factors which made this moment real, which made it viable, which made it happen. So it's not enough to thank for the moment, but I have to thank for the entire sweep of events which brought about this moment. Now, it's not only, so Hodah is not just a focus on the moment, but it's a very transcendent view of the larger sense of man and his role in the world and his interface with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And that's really, that's the Yisoid at the Seder. Well, what is the third case? Right? We have four cases. So the first case is Omer Malov Kiddush, Kiddush Hayom, the Gemara says. The second one is we do Magid. The fourth case is Goyim Olov Sahalo. So each one is supposed to have a mitzvah, but L'chayra, each mitzvah should be an essential aspect of the Avodah Salayla. Now Birchas HaMazon, that I bench after the Seder, was that any different? I benched after lunch today. So that's not an avodah of the night of Pesach. That's an avodah that I have to do. To do every day of the year. Whenever I eat, I have to bench. So this kos, in fact, seems to be limited to an aspect which really doesn't celebrate the Seder. Celebrate something else. But the answer is, in Haidah, that I have to see two things. I have to see everything which brought this moment about. Then I have to see something else. What were the consequences and the repercussions of this moment? What came about because of that? And I have to see all its implications and every aspect of the chesed that the Rabbeinu Shalom has done. So when I thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for sustaining me, it's not enough to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom that he sustained us. But what are all the gifts that he gave us by sustaining us, that he's bestowed upon us, that I have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for too? So it's not enough to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for the fact that I ate today, but the Rabbeinu Shalom ultimately gave us Eretz Yisrael. He ultimately gave us its pinnacle, the Mikdash, that we have to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom too for that as well. So Hodah is a very, very encompassing, all-encompassing sweep, going retrospectively from the moment, all the factors that brought it about, and prospectively, all the repercussions of that which took place. All of this is included. All of this is included in the Hidah that we have to give to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And what do we see in Noi Delecho? In Noi Delecho, we have a number of themes. We have the theme of Eretz Yisrael, we have the theme of Torah, and we have the theme of Bris Milah. Now, the ability to give this, it's obligatory to give this totality of Hidah. If I left out these elements, I wasn't Yotze. And to such an extent is it necessary to give this level of Hidah that the Gemara Brachos actually has a Shiloh. And what is the din? Are women obligated in Birchas HaMazon or not? Why? Because since they didn't get directly a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, only indirectly if they happen to inherit from their father, and they're not shy after Bris Milah, and Torah is not principally their province, Talmud Torah, so maybe they're not mechuyev in Birchas HaMazon altogether, mina Torah. Meaning that to be able to give an encompassing hadar to the Rabbeinu Shalom for all the gifts, if I can't do so, then I'm not even in the parsha of Birchas HaMazon. It's not peripheral to Birchas HaMazon. It's essential to the basic notion of Birchas HaMazon. And there's a whole question what the Gemara concludes. Some say that the Gemara remained as a suffix. Some say that the women are definitely v'chuyev, whatever. There's a shayla and rishonim how to read the Gemara. But what we see is that this broad sweep of Hidah is essential to the entire Birchas HaMazon. It's not just one more benching, we ought to do that too. No. If you can't do that, then maybe you potter. And even the ones that say that the women are chayev, it's because despite the fact that there's not a personal dimension, a direct dimension, but in the broader experience of Klal Yisrael, they also are Shir. And therefore, the fact that Klal Yisrael has Torah, the fact that Klal Yisrael was given Eretz Yisrael, the fact that we have a special covenant with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam of Bris Milah, so they are also part of the Bris between Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So it's not despite the fact that they can't give Haidah, it's despite the fact that they do not have a direct stake in these three things, but since they affect the totality of Klal Yisrael, so they're also roy to give Haidah for them. So even the view in the Gemara that women are obligated min haTorah, it's not because these things are not essential. It's that they are associated with them sufficiently to be able to give a Haidah for these things as well. So this notion of Haidah, the broad sweep of Haidah, is a very, very significant, a very essential and fundamental aspect of Birchas HaMazon. There's an entire shayla. Shas really deals with the shayla, and the shayla how it manifests itself in the din of Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara in Brochus has a shayla of Hiro Kedibur Domi, meaning those things which there's a necessity to have some measure of recitation, a brocha, a kriyashma, etc. Let's say I don't verbalize the words. Let's say what I do is that I think them. I think Shema Yisrael, Hashem. I go through all the words in Kriya Shema, but I think all of them. I don't articulate any of them. Am I Yotze or not? So essentially in Shas we find that the halachos like the Man Diomer in Shas that here is Lav Kedibur, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. That we have to express, verbalize the words of a bracha to fulfill the words of a tefillah, to fulfill the din. That's generally true. The Rambam writes, now when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, that b'machshava also suffices. I mean, Rashi does disagree with him. It has to do with how to learn pshat in a certain line in the Gemara. According to the Rambam's view, that in Birchas HaMazon it suffices that here is Kedibur. Now it's interesting, it's apparently not true, and it's interesting. The Rambam holds Tefillah is deraisa, and Tefillah it's not true. But in Birchas HaMazon, according to the Rambam, it is true. Now we paskin that even in terms of Birchas HaMazon, that it's not true. It could be, though, that the halacha is that if a person is, for some reason, incapable of reciting the Shema, for whatever reason may be, that at least Rosh Hashanah is Yotze the halacha with Hiro Kedibur. Now, this is also very interesting. I mean, in the Rambam, apparently the ability to offer the Deraisa Dika Haidah was given an additional window that Hiro Kedibur. It's enough that if a person thinks about it, and perhaps really that's the real thing. I mean, ultimately, where's the kiyum? The kiyum is what we verbalize, and the kiyum is what we feel. The kiyum is what we feel. That's the kiyum. So according to the Rambam, when it comes to Haidah Deraisa, that's enough. But to realize, you know, to think of what it is, what we're saying. Now, the other Rishonim in the Halacha paskin that it has to be verbalized. So, in effect, I think what we're saying is the following, that there are different levels of Maisa. Right? The most subtle of Maisa is something which is Bihur Alev, a thought. Is how it's expressed in the world of Maisa is in Dibur. apparently, in other words, most of the Rishonim hold that it should be expressed in the form of Dibur, brought into the world in a more concrete action, is a necessary part of the Hidah. The Aruch HaShulchan, I think it's Makuf Pei Gimel, explores a very interesting notion. And that is, may one recite the Birchas HaMazon, or Tefillah for that matter, in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh L'chatchila. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, you have to realize, the Aruch HaShulchan principally lived in the 19th century. He died in the year, I believe, 1905, about 1906, one of those 2 years. He principally was a 19th century figure. The 19th century, one of the huge commotions of the 19th century, in Central Europe particularly, was it appropriate to daven in the vernacular? This was an issue which consumed Central Europe in the early to mid 19th century. And the Chassam Sofer was one who was extremely vociferous in his critique. That this is only for Yochid, he said, it's not relevant for the Rabbim. The Rabbim is always mechuyev to be mispal in Loshon HaKodesh. The Aruch HaShulchan, based on the Rishalmi, argues that it's inherent in the Rishalmi itself, that it was only intended for a situation where it was impossible for a person to be able to be yotzei tefillah in Loshon HaKodesh. Otherwise, it's mechuyev. The logic would be that the Rebbe Rishon created the world by Loshon HaKodesh. The Torah, it's the language of the Torah is Loshon HaKodesh, that the tefillah should be in Loshon HaKodesh. It's interesting if we look at this in a larger sense, besides the halachic issue. So the Aruch HaShulchan is very, very strong that, you know, if it's at all feasible to be yotzei in Loshon HaKodesh, you have no right to be yotzei in any other language. And he holds this as not as a chumra, as mitzar adin, the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, I think there's an essential lesson in all of this. And he discusses it in this context. But I once saw that, I believe in the university in Krakow in Poland, has a very special place in Polish culture. Why? Because as we know, the Polish state ceased to exist many times in its history. Because it was swallowed up by its neighbors, particularly Russia conquered it who knows how many times. And the university in Krakow was one of the sole places which throughout all the years of being controlled by Russia, but the language of instruction in the university was Polish. They did not switch the language of instruction to Russian. And this is viewed as one of the sources of the survival of Polish culture for this reason. And I think there's a lesson, a larger lesson, if we look at it in that sense, in a sociological sense, that those, in fact, that opted to offer the tefillahs in languages other than Lashon HaKodesh, the end result was that they lost the connection with Yadus. The connection, you know, the language of the Torah and the language of our sources is so significant that if a person doesn't connect with it, essentially what we're saying is the following, that it's not worth the investment in our culture to learn the basics of its language. It has to be made accessible to me. It has to be brought to me. I'm not going to it. And if we're not willing to go to it and to make the sacrifices that are necessary for it, then it will not endure. And history is, and this, that's the end result of this machlokes, we can see clearly, you know, 2 centuries approximately after the Chassam Sofer, leaves little doubt as to how it played out. So here the Aruch HaShulchan discusses it, that this is a, according to him, this is an etzem chelik of the halacha itself. It's not a chumrah, this is not, you know, a gedder, but rather the halacha itself obligates us to be involved in the tefillahs and the brichas ha-mozen, the mozen dafka b'loshon ha-kodesh. And here he gets involved in a whole discussion, a very interesting discussion, that principally, not everyone agrees to this, but principally the halacha we hold, I'll tell you the exception in a moment, that in Lashon HaKodesh, if I recite a tefillah in Lashon HaKodesh, even if I don't understand the tefillah, I'm yotzei, which seems to stem from the fact that I have a certain basic idea, at least what I'm doing. If I get up to daven before the Rabbeinu Shalom, I take an apple. I don't know what Bar Priya Eitz means, but I know I'm thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for this apple. That's enough knowledge of what I'm doing that it's meaningful what I'm doing, even though without knowing exactly what it means. But this is limited to Lashon HaKodesh. If a person would make a broch on a different language and doesn't understand that language, it's not Yotzi. So now arises, now what happens to be the he quotes the Rav Shulchan Aruch, the Rav Shulchan Aruch is of the view that if I don't understand, even the person himself that doesn't understand the language, if I wouldn't understand it, I wouldn't be Yotzi. In other words, if I said in the original Lashon HaKodesh and I wouldn't understand the Lashon HaKodesh, I wouldn't be Yotzi. So the Aruch HaShulchan is up in arms about this. First of all, I mean, there's a huge body of Rishonim and Achronim that clearly don't hold like this. But he says, what would be the consequences of this view? The consequences of this view, we would say that tens of thousands of our brethren and had Yotzei Brichas HaMozen every day. I mean, there were no shortage of basically unlettered people that didn't know much more than how to read, that didn't understand really the basic texts. So he says, that's certainly, we're not going to paskin that way. He says, then there's another machlokes, which is actually a well-founded machlokes, and that is, what happens to the person that's listening, the person that's reciting the bracha? So I don't know exactly what Bar Priya Eitz means, but I know I'm thanking the Rosh Hashanah for an apple, that's enough. How about the person that's listening to my bracha, and they're not actually reciting the bracha? So here, in fact, there is a big machlokes, what the din is. There are those that say that you can't be Yotzei with someone else if you don't understand the language. The din that you could be Yotzei without understanding it is limited to when you yourself recite the bracha. But if you're being Yotzei with someone else, you have to know what the bracha means. La halacha, it's not the position that we take. It's fortunate that we don't take that position. But the position that we take is that those that listen are Yotzei even if they don't fully understand. I mean, I've had at my table over the years, I have some guests that come, and they're not always capable of the recitation of the Brichas HaMozen appropriately. So at the end of the meal, I would recite the Brichas HaMozen out loud and have them answer Amen after each of the brachas. Now, there's no question, they understand what we're doing. In other words, the essential idea that we're thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom for having fed us today, that they understand. What exactly the text means, that was beyond them. But the Yotz,
before the meal, by Kiddush, does the rabbi like mention what they're doing? Like, for instance, Richas Kavana, Kiddush, Friday night, at least.
Well, I'm not, I'll tell you the truth, I have very little experience in that realm. You know, it's rare that I've had, you know, at a Friday night meal, such a guest. Some rare occasions in my life. It's not been the scene that I've been in. But essentially, you should. I mean, for two reasons, you should. I mean, number one is they should realize it's a mitzvah. At least you do. To be yotzei a mitzvah, at least you have to have the realization that something is a mitzvah. If you don't realize it's a mitzvah, so how could you be yotzei? That's number one. And number two is the question, it's the teaching moment. I mean, at that moment, they're trying to figure out what's going on. What are you up to? So if you use the moment to tell them, you've connected. You know, I cry often that, oh, I'm a New Yorker. I've lived in the city my entire life, except a few years that I was zeicher to live in Yerushalayim. But this is, you know, if Nehemiah described Yerushalayim as your kibrei savayisai, I could describe New York as that way, you know. my family has lived there almost now 100 years in this city. And if you move amongst the non-Jews in this city, the non-Jews in this city are very sophisticated people. And when an African-American woman asks me about it, she doesn't call it a circumcision, she calls it a bris. And she knows exactly what it is, and she wants to know something about it. The question is sophisticated. So I often cry, and I said, I wish that the Jews in Middle America would be as knowledgeable as some of the non-Jews that I know in New York about what the Jewish religion is about. You know, it's people, we live together in one city, we, you know, do business together, and if you do business together, the social interaction between people, is people learn about each other's cultures. You know, and that's here, Baruch Hashem, where Yadus, where Torah is vibrant, even the non-Jews have a lot of them, a pretty sophisticated idea about what's going on. You know, Halavai, the rest of our brethren should be as sophisticated. Now, there's an essential question: what obligates us in Birchas HaMazon? Is there perhaps, there are at least two views that we'll talk about tonight. There may be yet a third view, but we'll confine ourselves to two right now. In the Tanaim directly, we find the fact that are we mechuyev birchas hamazon b'kzayis? Are we mechuyev birchas hamazon when we're full? So this, we have two different views. We have different views in the Gemara among the Tanoim. The achalto v'savoto v'rachto would imply that we have to be safsviyah to be full. There are Tanoim that say that we're mechuyev min haTorah even if we're a kzayis. So I think principally la halacha, we're more on the side of the Rishonim that say you need kedei sviya. But we cannot dismiss the fact that there are Rishonim that say b'gzayis. Now everyone does agree that at least midrabbanon m'machuyiv if we ate a gzayis. That's agreed to. But there are many, many essential differences between these positions. For example, I'm benching Friday night. So Friday night we can assume we ate Kidei Sviya normally. And I don't remember if I said Ritzei or not. Well, it's a mitzvah deraisa. If I didn't say Ritzei, I wasn't Yotzei. So now I'm on a Sofik deraisa. So besides, so that Sofik deraisa itself would demand that I go back. If it was a Sofik derabbanan, then we'd have more room to consider the problem. Maybe I don't have to go back because it's a subject of Rabbanan. There's another factor away, and maybe it's considered a chazokah, that it's clear cut that if I don't know that I said it, the assumption that I didn't say it. At least it'd be a question that's involved. There's another question which deals with the following, that can a person who ate a kezayis be moitzi a person that ate, there would be moitzi a person that ate kedei sviya? So if they're both deraisa, that I can clearly, one could be moitzi the other. If they're not both deraisa, if one's derabbanan and one's deraisa, then it should be that I shouldn't be able to do it. Except there's another intervening factor, and that is that when it comes to a brocha achrayna, to give a daughter to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, then in reality, even a person that didn't eat should be able to be meitzi someone else. Except for the fact that we don't want him making a brocha when he has no shaychus to the brocha altogether. So if he already ate a kezayis and he can make the brocha, essentially he is, you know, plugged into the din of Haidah. So there's the there we could say perhaps that he's mitzi someone that even though Ida Kazai is only a chi of the Rabbanan, he's a chi of the Raisa. But what happens, for example, we mentioned earlier we had a Shaila, what's the status of a woman in Birchas Hamazon, the Raisa, the Rabbanan? So part of the issue is, let's say they're not sure if they benched or not. They don't know. They just forgot. They ate a while ago. They just don't remember if they benched. Do they have to bench again or not? That's number one. Number two, it's for whatever reason. They want to be mitzi the husbands. Could they be mitzi the husband? They both ate Kadesh Sphere. But she is totally a Rabbanan. She's never, according to the Tzad, it's the Rabbanan. She has no chiyuv d'oraisa at all. So if you have no chiyuv d'oraisa at all, you can't be mitzi a person that has a chiyuv d'oraisa. If I have a chiyuv d'oraisa, even though I'm not fulfilling it at this moment, then I could do a mitzvah to be mitzi you, that could be. But if I have no chiyuv d'oraisa altogether, then I can't be mitzi you with the mitzvah. So this is an essential issue. Can I be, for example, now we have this.
See, even though it's my focus on the Gemara, if it's Akzayas Akubeya, but that's all kind of like a Chumrah, but
that's Pashtus in that Gemara is learning that it's the Rabbanan. I mean, there are those that want to learn. I think that's one of their rayas, that since it says Akzayas for Akubeya, that's indicative that that's the.
Well, Machmer there, but it falls short. As far as comparing it to a derisa,
yeah, right? Yeah, it's still short of it. It's not a derisa. It's not a derisa.
It's not a bad thing.
No, a bad thing it's not. But you know, the words, a woman perhaps can't be mitzi a man. Now we have a case which is the following. Looks the following play. That if she ate kedei sphir, and a man only ate a kazayas, then she could be mitzi him. Why? Because in that situation, she's mechuyim in the Rabbanan, and he's mechuyim in the Rabbanan. So one could be made to the other.
No, it's not exactly the same nature of the chiyuv, because she's only chayv the Rabbanan, because her whole nature is chayv the Rabbanan.
Yeah, but it's still, Shas compares those two. Now, so that could be, that could work. Now, if he ate a kazayas, and she ate a kazayas, then is a shayla if we could be mitzi them or not. Tosfos says in Masechta Megillah, the shayla had to learn pshat no machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah. But Tosfos says in Masechta Megillah that one can't be mitzi the other. Why? Because he is only one Rabbanan. He is essentially mechayev min haTorah, except the Rabbanan will mechayev him also when he eats a kazayas. A woman when she eats a kazayas is a double Rabbanan. Even if she'd be a man, it would be a Rabbanan, and she's not a man. So that's, she's another step removed. So Tosis' view is that if you, I'm only Mechuyev as a result of two Rabbanans, and someone else is Mechuyev because of one Rabbanan, then the one that needs the two Rabbanans in compound to create the Chiyev cannot be Mitzi, the person that is one Rabbanan. Not everyone agrees with this. I believe that the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the, I believe that there's a shayla, it seemed to me, is a shayla Rishonim about this in Shas. And the Aruch HaShulchan, if I recall correctly, quotes it somewhere, I believe the Mogen Avraham, that the Mogen Avraham did not see eye to eye lahalocha with this Tosfos. And the Mogen Avraham felt it didn't make a difference, two Rabbanans versus one Rabbanan. And the Aruch HaShulchan himself was inclined towards this view. He thinks that this view is correct, that we should not differentiate between two Rabbanans and one Rabbanan. So, this is some of the areas where it makes a difference. In other words, again, if she's mesupik, if she benched, she doesn't remember if she benched, does she have to bench again? Can't she, if they both had kedei sphir, can't she be motzi a man?
Is the hero talking about kedei sphir or kazayas, is that just an chala? Or when we start for the meal? Because sometimes you give a challah and
it's
has
clear.
Like a
large piece. Well, so. It seems like what comes out is the following. If you're dealing with kazayas, the kazayas has to be of lechem itself. If we're dealing with kedei sphir, nobody claims that the kedei sphir has to be lechem by itself. It's a normal amount of lechem that people eat, plus all the other things that people eat for sphir. If I recall correctly, Primogodim has a very interesting question. So normally we say, and this is important, Rabbi, so this is a very important point, to fulfill the din, to be obligated in Birchas Hamazon after eating a kezayis. However, whenever there's a din of eating a kezayis, the halacha is that after eating a kedei achilas pras. So according to the Chasam Sofer, somewhere between 2 and 9 minutes, and Rabbi Moshe Zatzal held that 5 minutes is this man that one should use. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, bein l'adaraisa. 5 minutes. He said it's one of the reasons on Shabbos why it's important that right when the challah is given out, that people, you know, should eat at least the kezayis right away. Because if they're going to stretch the kezayis out to over 2 hours, so maybe they'll never be mechuyev in Birchas Hamazon altogether. Because they didn't have an achil of lechem of it in the appropriate share. So we have to have the achil on an appropriate share of kedei achilas pras.
The kedei sevia wouldn't have to be kedei achilas
pras. Oh, so that's the shaila. That's the shaila that it's more than that. In other words, there's two things. I have to have a kezayis with kedei achilas pras. Kedei sevia, I don't have that. Clearly don't have to have a kedei achilas pras. But the primogodim raises the ante. The primogodim wants to know the following. Let's say I didn't eat a kezayis with kedei achilas pras. And I achieved Tzvia. So, am I mechuyev in Birchas Hamazon d'oraisa or not? In other words, do you need real chalta b'savota to proceed? Or the Tzvia itself is enough of a mechayev? So this is a shayla that's raised by the Prima God, that maybe the din Tzvia is not as limited as the din achil is limited. Or perhaps it's has to be a second step, real chalta b'savota b'rachta. And it's interesting, there is a view in the Gemara, and it's odd to me that it wound up in the Shulchan Aruch. But once in a while these things happen. There are certain things that when you learn the Sugis HaShas, you can't imagine that they could have any effect on the Halacha. Anyone that ever learned Masechta Gittin, for example, that if I'm going to tell you that you need, you know, Rameya's dinim, that you have to have Chesima L'Shma, that is to be Muchach B'Toch, all the dinim that come from Rameya's, from Rameya's dinim, and Eide Chesima, if you learn Masechta Gittin, if you learned it cover to cover, so you'd come to the conclusion that nobody al halacha should be concerned with Rameya. We have enough Pevov, a whole slew of Amaroyim, exactly how we paskin and how what makes the get a get. There's not one single Amor in the entire Masechta that paskin like Rameya by Gittin. Right? Beshtoris is a whole shayla what the din is. There's a whole shayla in different places in Shas and a shayla in Rishayim. But nobody, there's not a single Amor in the entire Shastet paskin like Rav Meir. And yet, when you learn the halachas of Shulchan Aruch Avin Ezra, we made a get that's kosher, we're making sure that the get is kosher according to Rav Meir too. So sometimes you find, you know, surprising things. Now, there is a view that says that without drinking, that's also not, you don't achieve kedei sviya. Sviya also implies that you have to drink in a meal. And if you didn't drink in a meal, you're not mechuyev birchas hamazon min haTorah. Because a person has to be satisfied. And I guess the satisfaction is not only in eating, but a person has to drink. That's also part of being satisfied. So if one didn't drink, one's not mechuyev birchas hamazon min haTorah. And this view found its way into the Shulchan Aruch. It's quite surprising. It does not seem, when you learn the Sugya HaShas, that this is the view of the Rabb. And yet it's cited in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So this is also, in other words, l'achat chilo, one should be sure at least to drink something.
Even water?
Even water, yeah. It's not, you know, it's just man needs, an essential need is fluid.
Is there any shear that you should drink?
No, it doesn't seem that there's a shear. It doesn't seem that there's a shear. On the other hand, if we don't have the kezayis, so then we have in the Gemara where Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was not concerned with lechem. Rabbi Akiva was concerned with tzviya, v'achalta v'savota v'rachta. You ate. Listen, you had a steak and potatoes, you're full. So he says, Ma chosali de lechem. You know, what's lacking if I don't have the bread? So Rabbi Akiva Paskin, and in the Mishnah in Ketzer Mevorchim, that you have to recite Birchas Hamazon. Such a case. The halacha, we don't paskin like that. But
maybe this doesn't happen during the winter months, but say in Shabbos, if someone's eating, and then they decide to eat Kalashuris. So, they're really like Knei Sviya. Because they need Tzumchala, Shalashuddas, but they're really, even if they...
I would presume that that's...
That during the meal? Like
no, I don't think so, no. I don't think so. In other words,
that,
if I
that
ate...
That tips the scale, that's
Yeah, it tips the scale. It's a deraisa de kedem.
Status
so.
You are when you bench.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a svi is not a maisa. Svi is a metzias.
If the person is no longer full, but he's not hungry, is it at the time of benching, or he just has to have achieved svi at some point?
I don't know. If a person is not hungry, that's mustavra, the realm of svi. That's what I think. Means you have no sense of hunger at all. That's sphere. You don't have to be stuffed. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll hold it at this point for tonight.